Welcome to the June 12th dual platform service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service today was led by Reverend Pam Phillips and Worship Associate Stephen Henninger. Acknowledging and celebrating our blessings can enrich our lives, but might it also make requirements of us? What comes after the celebration? This podcast is publicly accessible, so the announced joys and sorrows are not included for privacy considerations, and most of the music is not included because of copyright restrictions.
Good morning, everyone, and let us welcome Stephen Henninger on the screen. There he is. Stephen, we can see you.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of the New River Valley, where we share a mission to inspire, create, and transform. I'm Stephen Henninger, your worship associate today, joining you from Salt Lake City, Utah. I'm glad to be back in the sanctuary. And I'm leading worship this morning with Reverend Pam Phillips, our settled minister. If you are with us for the first time, we're glad you found us. If you're virtual, you'll find a link to the virtual visitors card in the chat, or if you're in the sanctuary, there's a paper card in the back of the sanctuary. Fill it out if you'd like to keep in touch. If you have a joy or a sorrow that you wish to be shared aloud later in the service, again, for those on Zoom, you'll find a link in the chat, or there's old-fashioned cards in the back of the sanctuary as well to pick up and give to Rev Pam during the opening hymn. If you need assistance hearing the service in the sanctuary, we have three listening devices. Connect with a greeter and they'll help you out. There are also many opportunities to meet virtually or on the grounds throughout the week. You can look at the calendar on our website for times, locations, Zoom links, and contact information if needed. Thank you to all the volunteers this morning and throughout the week who make all of these activities possible.
I want to highlight a couple of volunteers today. One is Stephen, this is his last time serving as a worship associate. Since he lives in Salt Lake City, we thought maybe he should go to the church there. And I also want to lift up that Nancy Norton is online, and she has been an online greeter these many years of COVID, or at least since we've been meeting in a dual platform way. And Nancy has moved to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, where she'll be joining the UU congregation there, where the religious educator was one of the youth in my youth group back in Charlottesville. So let's give Nancy especially a round of applause, but also Stephen. It has been such a blessing to maintain our connections over the miles. I also want to lift up, we had the discussion about this in the board meeting this week. We are mindful that people have very different comfort levels and feelings of safety in the sanctuary. If you see someone wearing a mask, then it's a good idea to ask them before you sit right next to them. It may mean that they want extra space. And if you're a person who wants extra space, please speak up and tell someone, could you move over a seat? We won't take it as a personal insult, just recognizing that people have different needs. And usually the seats on this side of the sanctuary are less full, and you'll notice the front row is completely empty. I want to lift up that next week we'll have a community conversation about abortion after the service. It'll happen on Zoom and also in the library here. Because our half plate today is the New River Abortion Access Fund, I think you'll find some information cards in the in Elarth after the service, and Matthias Baker, who is one of their volunteers, will be there to answer questions. They are in need of volunteers, not just money. Folks who have to travel from far away need rides. They need places to stay. So there's plenty of opportunities for us to support pregnant persons who need care. And I know that abortion is a fraught issue, so it's good to have those conversations. So I invite you to come next week for that. I want to let you know that today our children are starting this summer RE program. The pre-K will be having their first Sunday fun day with some free play on the playground. And kindergarten through fifth grade will be learning about the holiday of, I'm not going to pronounce this correctly, I'm sorry, Duanu, I think. It's the Dragon Boat Festival, and it's held in China in early June. And so the kids will create their own dragon boat, make a protective sachet from fabric and potpourri, and play a game of capture the dragon's tail. So if you get bored in here, you can go out and play with them. So now let's take a moment to greet one another. Those of you at home, if you would turn on your videos so that we can see your beautiful faces, you're up on the screens here, and let us know where you're worshiping from by typing it in the chat. We already know that Stephen's in Salt Lake City, Nancy's in Christiansburg, Brenda says hello from Italy, Gail says, greetings from Gail and Susie in Galax. Tony says, good morning from Roanoke. Clyde, hello from Spokane. Molly and Irene are just back from New York and recovering. Jennifer's in Radford. Stephanie's out on the beautiful UUC Gardens. Cynthia's here in Blacksburg. I love that we have people from all over the world here. Even Ellet Valley, poor Wayne New is sick at home in Ellet Valley. And Christine in Blacksburg. Oh, it's so good to see you, Christine. And Casey from Highland Park. All right, now it's your turn to be on camera. So if you are in the sanctuary, I invite you to wave at the camera. There's Jared, and we'll just pan around so we can see who is joining us here in the sanctuary. We have some new faces and some faces we haven't seen for a while. So it is wonderful to be together. And then we go, ah, anybody feeling seasick? All right, we are greeted. Stephen, do you want to help us create sacred space?
Yes. Let us create sacred space by lighting a chalice either in the sanctuary or at home. Please join in reading the words that are on the screen. We light this chalice for the warmth of welcome, the light of hope, and the fire of service. And our opening words this
morning. You're good.
Our opening words this morning are from Rev Scott Taylor and are called, We come to be blessed. We come today longing and looking for a blessing. In our loneliness, we may find the blessing of connection. In our doubt, may we feel the reassurance of a love that will not let us go. In the dullness of our senses, may the blessing of unexpected gifts be ours. In our fear, may the blessing of courage return. May this flame we light remind us to look up and around one more time. May it help us notice the blessings that are always waiting for us and wanting to tell us that we are now and always home.
Let's please join me in reading our covenant. We covenant to create a place of respect and kindness and to build a spiritual community based on reason and courageous love. While we celebrate the words of our mission statement and of this covenant, we affirm that our mission lives through our actions. Now I'm going to invite Stephen to introduce a spiritual exercise from our Soul Matters packets.
When it comes to counting our blessings, just about everyone recommends the practice of reflecting and acknowledging things we are grateful for. After all, adding up all the blessings in our lives often leads to, at the very least, a warm, fuzzy feeling. Yet we know it can be more complicated than just listing our gratitudes. Recent research has identified a contrarian approach to the blessings in our lives results in even more impactful benefits. Instead of saying, I'm grateful I found my partner, or I'm grateful I found this congregation, what if you reflected on the absence of those blessings? What if I hadn't met my partner? What if I hadn't found this congregation? In the Soul Matters small group packet, one of the suggested spiritual exercises for our month's theme is called a George Bailey meditation moment after the classic Christmas movie. What it suggests is to pick a blessing or two from your life, meditate on and imagine what your life would be like without that blessing. Also reflect on how other aspects of your life would have played out differently if that blessing did not occur. Then capture your thoughts. Journal, jot some notes, or write a poem or draw a picture. We will send out a link in the announcements with an article on this as well. And now, let us celebrate our blessings by collecting an offering. It is a practice of our congregation to share half of the offering with a local charity or a UU-affiliated organization. This week's recipient is the New River Abortion Access Fund, which operates a volunteer-run helpline that provides financial and practical support, such as rides, lodging, gas, meals, childcare, etc., to pregnant people who cannot afford the cost of abortion. Please give online using the link in the Zoom chat or through the many ways listed on the screen, now or after the service. For those of you in the sanctuary who would like to give cash or a check, there's a basket in the back of the sanctuary. We thank you all for your generosity. And as we collect our offering, we'll enjoy Jared playing on the piano, during which you're invited to light candles of hope and remembrance. For those online, write in the chat if you'd like a candle lit, and those will be read aloud after the offertory.
This morning, as we accept our offerings, we're going to try something a little different, which is to sing "From You I Receive," so you can stay seated. We'll sing this together. From you receive, to you I give, together we share, and from this we live. From you I receive, to you I give, together we share, and from this we And we receive the gift and blessing of Jennifer's voice. Now I invite you into the mood of meditation. So take a breath, settle in your seat, soften your shoulders, soften your gaze. Maybe even close your eyes so that you may be present to these words by the Reverend Rebecca Parker. Your gifts, whatever you discover them to be, can be used to bless or curse the world. The mind's power, the strength of the hands, the reaches of the heart, the gift of speaking, listening, imagining, seeing, waiting. Any of these can serve to feed the hungry, bind up wounds, welcome the stranger, praise what is sacred, do the work of justice, or offer love. Any of these can draw down the prison door, hoard bread, abandon the poor, obscure what is holy, comply with injustice, or withhold love? You must answer this question. What will you do with your gifts? Choose to bless the world. The choice to bless the world is more than an act of will, a moving forward into the world with the intention to do good. It is an act of recognition, a confession of surprise, a grateful acknowledgement that in the midst of a broken world, unspeakable beauty, grace, and mystery abide. There is an embrace of kindness that encompasses all life, even yours. And while there is injustice, anesthetization, or evil, there moves a holy disturbance, a benevolent rage, a revolutionary love, protesting, urging, insisting that which is sacred will not be defiled. Those who bless the world live their life as a gesture of thanks for this beauty and this rage. The choice to bless the world can take you into solitude to search for the sources of power and grace, native wisdom, healing, and liberation. More, the choice will draw you into community, the endeavor shared, the heritage passed on, the companionship of struggle, the importance of keeping faith, the life of ritual and praise, the comfort of human friendship, the company of earth, the chorus of life welcoming you. None of us alone can save the world. Together, that is another possibility waiting.
Today's reading is called To Bless and Be Blessed by the Reverend Tanya Yadira Marquez. To give someone a blessing is the most significant affirmation we can offer, a quote from Henry Nouwen. Blessings were an important ritual at home. Every morning when we were getting ready to leave our home for school, my mom would stand by the gate where we stopped before taking the first step outside our home, and she would give us a blessing. She blessed us by making the sign of the cross on our face and chest. She also taught us a prayer to say as we left the house. Sometimes I would turn back and would see her waving from the front door and sending another blessing from a distance. For her, the world outside was scary and dangerous. Her hope was that those blessings would bring us back home and safe to be together again. No matter how chaotic our morning was, no matter how late we already were for school, her blessing suspended us in time for a moment. And right after it, we were back to the same rhythm to go on with our lives, to keep rushing to get where we needed to be. There was something very real and profound about this daily ritual. As an adult, it took me a long time to realize that I too could bless. It was not easy to learn that I had the ability to bless, to send my good wishes and wishes of safety to those I love, or simply to recognize the sacredness of something or someone. Growing up, I had learned that elders, priests, mothers, and nuns could bless, and, well, I was none of those for a long time. But then I discovered that blessing something or someone is recognizing their sacred nature, caring for them enough to want them to be protected, and a way of expressing my gratitude and reverence for them. I believe now that all of us can bless, and when we stop to do so, we create a pause, a breathing moment in our day to recognize what is holy or that something needs our recognition and care. A pause, perhaps, to interrupt this to interrupt the sped-up rhythm of our bodies and minds. We can create blessings that recognize the sacredness of things, that affirm and validate us or others, blessings that make us and others feel affirmed, blessings that are prayers for all of us to find our way home, to our sanctuary, to our safe spaces and people. A blessing. I bless the beauty of your being, the sacredness of your breath, the unfolding of your spirit, the fullness of your humanity. I bless each moment you pause to recognize all that is holy in and around you.
So, how does all this talk of blessing land with you this morning? Do you feel like Reverend Marquez does now that you can bless others? That even though you may not be an elder, a priest, a mother, or a nun, you can still take a pause to acknowledge the sacred in another or wish them well? Or does the notion of blessing someone else make you uncomfortable? That it's not your place? Some Unitarian Universalists squirm at the thought of blessings or prayers. For some of us, they don't fit into some of our humanist theologies. I remember a conversation I had with someone here at UUC about the practice of blessing the offering. That's the word we used to use. We bless this offering. They said it felt too much like the practice of more Orthodox churches. Who were we to bless anything? So we changed the language to accepting the offering instead of blessing it. And now I wonder if maybe we made that change too quickly and without enough thought. The notion of blessing someone or even celebrating blessings brought up some negative feelings in our worship team meeting too. Someone said that it made them think of sweet tea, finger sandwiches, and old Southern ladies, and not in a positive way. How many times have we heard the expression, oh, bless his heart, and not in a positive way? Do you know what I'm talking about? Yes. Talk of blessing others or even being blessed often has a saccharine sweetness to it that feels inauthentic. But I can see in my mind's eye Reverend Tanya's mother sending her children out into the world with words meant to protect them, like a charm, from some of the dangers of the world. What could be more authentic than that? A mother embodying her nurture and care with the sign of the cross and words of blessing. And truth be told, I have on occasion spoken words either in my head or out loud, asking that the people I love be safe from harm, healed from trauma, cured of disease. And I have said, bless your heart, in response to an act of kindness or care, not just as a way to acknowledge that someone is being a pain in the neck. I did that once to a friend in seminary. I said, oh, bless your heart. He was telling us some things. He said, what? What did I do? And I, no, really, bless your heart. And today we sang that Buddhist blessing of loving kindness to ourselves, where it always needs to start, to those we know and love, and then to the whole human race, which is what I believe we means when we sing, may we be filled with loving kindness. We need not believe in God or have the mantle of priest or nun to offer words of care and gratitude to ourselves or to other people. Or as Marquez puts it, blessing something or someone is recognizing their sacred nature, caring for them enough to want them to be protected, and a way of expressing my gratitude and reverence for them. It makes sense that someone raised in a more orthodox tradition, I think Tanya was Catholic before she became Unitarian Universalist, would think they couldn't bless. Only the priest has the authority to perform the ritual that sanctifies persons or things to divine service or invokes divine favor on what he blesses. Our Unitarian and Universalist traditions come out of the Reformation, which introduced the doctrine of the priesthood of all believers, which asserted that all humans have access to God through Christ, the true high priest, and thus do not need a priestly mediator. And UUs have taken it a step farther, at least those who don't identify as Christian, believing that we can have access to the sacred or the holy, whether we use the term God or not, without even Jesus. Our living tradition asserts that we find inspiration through direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder affirmed in all cultures, which moves us to a renewal of the spirit and an openness to the forces which create and uphold life. That is our first source for now. If we can directly experience transcending mystery and wonder, then why shouldn't we be able to offer blessings, acknowledging sacred nature and asking for protection? Our meditation today from Rebecca Parker suggests that we can do more than just bless individuals. We can choose to bless the world. And if we choose to, we bless not so much with our words, but through our actions and our gifts. And this resonates with another part of our discussion in the worship team. There was a sense that people who have been blessed with whatever gifts they have received are privileged, perhaps even entitled. And with that privilege comes responsibility and an obligation to do something good with the blessings, the gifts we have received. In our discussion, there wasn't a question whether we should choose blessing or cursing the world. The choice was obvious. That sense of obligation seems to come from a recognition that blessings are not earned. They are gifts, like grace. I think of people who were born with beautiful voices, or quick intellects, or great physical strength and agility. They may hone their innate talents through hard work, rehearsing and studying and practicing, but they have a head start over others. Likewise, some of us have been blessed with opportunities and advantages because of the families into which we were born, the places where we live, the identities that we possess. We may make good use of these advantages through hard work and earned further success, but we had a head start. Recognizing our blessings and our gifts can remind us that we have much to give. So I practiced a little with the exercise that Stephen shared with us today, imagining what my life would be like without a particular blessing. And I realized how profoundly different my life would have been without that blessing. If not for the blessing of my partner, Jamie, right now, I would probably be sitting in the U congregation in Charlottesville, listening to somebody else preach. I would have been relieved and recovering from a long year of teaching middle school, because I'm not sure I would have had the courage and confidence to leave teaching and go to seminary. I would be surrounded by good friends and fulfilling work to do. My life would have been good, but most likely I would not be here with you today. How different my life would have been. I am truly blessed. And because I am so blessed, I have not just the responsibility and the obligation, but the opportunity to bless the world. And what amazing opportunities! More blessings. It's a powerful experiment, and I invite you to try it too this week, to explore the George Bailey meditation moment, and then to rediscover the opportunities your blessings bring. Now, at this point, I could list the myriad of ways you could bless the world with your gifts. Gifts, as Parker defines them, your mind's power, the strength of your hands, the reaches of your heart, your gifts of speaking, listening, imagining, seeing, waiting. You might find opportunities this morning at UUC by stopping by the tables in Elarth Hall to learn about the legislative advocacy group and ways to support the New River Abortion Access Fund with more than just your money. Or you could meet with the Growth Through Service team members. But really, the opportunities are endless. From the smallest act of kindness that lifts the spirit of someone who just really needs it, to the greatest commitment of time and energy to a grand cause, all are ways to bless the world. And as Parker writes, the choice to bless the world is more than an act of will, a moving forward into the world with the intention to do good. It is an act of recognition, a confession of surprise, a grateful acknowledgement that in the midst of a broken world, unspeakable beauty, grace, and mystery abide. In the midst of a broken world, find that unspeakable beauty, grace, and mystery, and find a way to be a blessing. In the week ahead, I hope you find ways to answer the call of love. Be blessed and know that you are a blessing to the world. We extinguish our chalice, but not the warmth of community, the light of truth, or the fire of commitment. Let us carry those with us in our hearts until we are together again.